Okay. So I'll explain the title. It's real simple. We're, in general, we're continuing our series in Nevi'im Rishonim for about 3-4 years. Didn't we? So with Yeshua, we've been doing little by little, book at a time. Half a book at a time. And today's topic, I'm trying to make something cute, the early history of the later prophets. And the later prophets really is called Nevi'im Achronim. They're really not that much later, a little early. But one thing I want you to look, looking at the sign wise, which we've discussed before, that's why I hope you looked at it. If you look at the Nevi'im, there's a, I use the word right, plethora means a lot of? Sounds fancy. There's a lot of Nevoah that begins specifically at the same time period. And the Nevi'im that we're talking about, if you look at Nevi'im Achronim, in historical order, Yonah might be a little bit earlier, Yonah's probably a little bit earlier, but he's really not mainstream compared to the other ones. But the big Nevi'im, Yishayel, Hoshea, Amos, Micha, they're all from the same time period. Chazal call them Arba Nevi'im. And they all have the tether, but they're coming from the time period of Uziel, Melech Yudah, and Yerovam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael. For some reason, we get a tremendous amount of Nevoah, specifically that time period. And then the amount of Nevoah, Nevi'im, the type of Nevoah. Because the Nevoah of Yishayel and Hoshea and Amos, the style is very different than anything beforehand. You read Nevi'im like Shmuel, you read Eliyahu, Elisha. It's just, the sound is totally different. To the point that the Bible critics, when you take, I call BC, you can't say BC, I call BCE. They almost come to the conclusion, and they have a lot to base it on, if there's so much intention about that time period, and so much about ethical, it's very ethical based, and very demanding on the Jewish people, they come up with a theory that really Chumash, this pretty much when Judaism, where monotheistic ethical Judaism really begins, and all the ethical things and monotheistic things we have in Chumash from beforehand is sort of woven in by them. Understand? I don't want to explain the point, but I'm just bringing up their side for one simple reason. It just shows you that it's an anomaly. That all of a sudden, in Jewish history, we have Nevi'im like Shmuel, we have Nevi'im like Eliyahu and Elisha, but the messages are straightforward and simple, it's not that poetic. And all of a sudden you have Nevi'im, which Hebrew is hard to understand, very powerful, very demanding, very verbose, I guess is the word, but very literary. It's something we didn't have before. And the question is going to be why? What's that indicate? To appreciate what's happening, we need to sign with. And we have to go back to what we talked about since we started today from Lachim. That the time period of David and Shlomo, the later years of David and the early years of Shlomo, is pretty much a high point in Jewish history. We want to put a benchmark of what we're hoping for. If there's some time in Jewish history we can say Chadesh Yemenu Kikedem, it's pretty much that time period. That's when Tehillim is being written. That's when the Jewish people finally reach the goal of Chumash, to be a nation representing God, to be an Or LeGoyim. The other nations will see you. Look up to you. It finally happens in the time of David. And it lasts for a couple of decades. And then with the split of the kingdom, everything falls apart again. We had a quick rise in the time of Yoshaphat and Ahav. Not much to brag about because there was still a lot of Avodah Zarah. Eliyahu, when we studied Eliyahu and Elisha, our whole point was Eliyahu was hoping that if I could only make Ahav from and get rid of Yezebel, I can get back to the time period of Shlomo. And it backfired. And that's why Eliyahu, and that's why he gives up, and he's so upset. And that's why Elisha's got to pick up the pieces, and that's how we explain Eliyahu and Elisha in light of the time period. There was a hope to get back to the benchmark time period of Shlomo, but it didn't happen. And now, things get really bad again, and now in the time of Uzziah and Yerovam, several decades later, we finally have another chance to get back to the time period of Shlomo. And what I want to get at is that the only time period in Bayit Rishon after Shlomo, we were this close to that time period, is the time period of Uzziah. And that's why there's so much potential at this time period. That's going to be my explanation for why there's so much Nevoah. The job of the Nevi'im is not to predict history, it's to shape history, and trying to pound that point home over and over again in study of Nevi'im. It doesn't mean that certain things, frameworks aren't set, but the main job of the Nevi'im is not to predict events, not an oracle predicting what's going to be, but he's hoping to shape events based on the goal of the Jewish people. And I want to show you how the time period of Uziel can make it happen. And therefore, the first parak we have to learn is the first parak in historical order of Yishayel. The headers you're familiar with, if you want to look in the Haftar from Sefer Dvarim, Yishayel, if you want to take a quick look, the first parak in Yishayel. If you don't have Yishayel, you can look in, I only read out things that aren't Haftarot. Yeah, probably the Karnal will be a little bit easier. But, and Parshat, Parshat Dvarim, Haftar for Parshat Dvarim, Chazan Yishayel Ben Amot, which is Shabbat Chazon, which most of us know by heart, the first line, we have a time period. If you look at the sine wave, Uziel, Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiel, notice we're on a big slide. Because in the time of Uziel, we'll see how good things are. In the time of, by the time we get to Achaz and Chizkiel, things get really bad. So there's big hope for the time of Uziel. Hoshea begins pretty much the same header. Hoshea is also the same king of Yehuda, with the addition of Yerovam, then Yoash. Why does Hoshea add in Yerovam, and Yishael doesn't? The reason is very simple. You know why? Why in the header of Hoshea? Because he's an Avi for the north, primarily for the north. He talks to Israel. Yishael was a court Avi for Melech Yehuda. He's only in Yehuda. He's in Yehuda, and Hoshea is up north. Amos also has both. But it's only a time period of Uziel in Rovim and Yoash. But Uziel, Amos is from Yehuda, but he goes and gives Nevuot in Israel, and they give him the boot. There's a whole story there. They tell him to get lost. I don't know if I have time to see that. But they tell him, Brach Lecha. So this, he's in Beitel giving them Musar. What's going on in Beitel and their show over there? And they tell him, this is the Mikdash Melech. This is a... This big dash is run by the king. You got no business being here. You want to give Musar? Go to your own city. Yeah, go to Yehuda. And Amos gives the famous line, I'm not a Navi, I'm not the son of a Navi. I'm a simple person. Now, and then Michal is a little bit later, just a drop later, but pretty much the same time period. But Uziel, Hoshea, Amos, and Uziel, and Yishayel were all the same time period. I want to begin with probably the most important nevuah that sets the tone for everything. And that's Yishayel Peres Bet. Yishayel Peres Bet. It's so famous, I was simply sure it was Haftarah. I was convinced. And I went looking for it, and then I can't find it. And I realized it's not, unless I made a mistake. It's in the UN. That's what they have on the... Isaiah Wall, outside the UN. It's famous, I say. I thought it was so famous, I can't believe it's not Haftarah somewhere. Yishayel Peres Bet. You're probably familiar with it. And then it's on the page I gave you. For those who don't have the top, it's on the page that we're giving out. Shel Peretzet says as follows. Adavar Shechazai Yishayel Ben Amot Ayudah V'Yushalayim Vayav Achrit HaYamim Nechon Yehar Beit Hashem Brosh HaAri V'Nisam Mikvot Menorah Lekol HaGoyim. Sound familiar? Okay. There'll be a time. We'll talk about what Achrit HaYamim means in a minute. The God's house will be standing high up in the mountains. There will be uplifted from all the high places, and all the nations will go there, and all the nations will come. Many nations will go, and they'll say, let's go and visit Yerushalayim. Ahar Beit Hashem of Yaakov, the reign of Yidrachav, let's learn God's ways. V'nachal or chatav, ki mitzion teitzei Torah, v'ar Hashem Yerushalayim. You know, Yerenu, what's Tarchei Hashem? You know what that means in Chumash? We'll get past the Chasayim. Whenever it says, Mishmor Derech Hashem, or Tarchei Hashem, you know where that's defined?
Yes.
Where that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
In Zaira.
Yes.
Yeah. Say the pasuk.
Yeah.
He's that tiv, the man asher teved banav b'tocha b'shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. And over and over again in Parshat Eked, we have the same idea. Remember what God wants from you? Hashem v'kishcha, l'roto, l'lechet b'drochav, l'shmor mitzvotav u'kotav. And then he talks about after the tagira, etc. So he says, people are going to go to Yerushalayim to learn God's ways and learn from the Jewish people. And then, what will Yerushalayim do? Shabbat ben goyim, v'ochiach lamim rabim, v'shituch harvotem leitim, v'chanutem lamatronot, v'sa goy goy acher, v'lo yidom v'mechama. And that's it. Okay? They selectively quote at the UN. They quote the Pasuk Daled, and they censor it, and they instead for the other one. Okay. We'll continue that in a minute. I want to talk about this phrase, achrit hayamim, which is usually translated, Achrit HaYomim.
What is that?
Somebody explain to me what that could say.
Mine
is what's Afritayomim mean?
In.
Mama Lashon, what's Afritayomim mean?
The
end of day. What happens at the end of day? No, hold on. We'll see what's said in a minute. What's the standard understanding of Afritayomim in
Mashiach?
Okay, and then what happens? What happens when Mashiach comes? And what happens the day after? That they don't talk about. Right? And as long as we don't get there, we have to worry about the day after. I want to show you Achari Tayyabim. Tanakh has a different meaning. The word Achari doesn't mean last or end. Achari means, you know what Achari means? Acharon. Acharon doesn't always mean last. It means the next. I'll bring just a couple examples to prove it. Let's start with Chumash. Remember in Parshat Vayetze, I think? Or Vayishlach. Vayishlach. The beginning of Vayishlach, when he's setting up the presents to send to him.
He says,
yeah. Yeah, he says, one Achronim and afterwards more Achronim. Any Gabbai knows that. How many Achronim are there? How many Achronim will be the last one? There's more and more Achronim. But the best, Tidim Ma'inchet is the best proof. Look at Tidim Ma'inchet. If you have a theme, I'll just read it quickly. Okay, you can say slowly, it won't. Tidim Ma'inchet. It's a parrot that's got all the makot in it, or none of the makot. It's a long parrot. Just look at the beginning. I'll read slowly. Maskil Asaf. Hazina mitzoroti hatu aslechem limerfi. Take off from Hazinu. Eschaba mashrabi abin chidot binikedem. Says, I'm going to go and tell you something. Notice he's relating all the words from, there's parallels here to Shirat Hazinu. Asher shamanu v'nida'im v'abotinu sipulanu. Lo nachem yivneem. We have a lot of things. Remember, Sechori Motolam v'inu shodol v'dor? To take up on that. I have history to tell you. And we have to tell all these things that God did. Lo nechached mivnehem. We can't hide this from the children. The Dor Acharon mesafrim tivot Hashem. Who do we tell the tivot Hashem to? The Dor Acharon. What's the Dor Acharon? The last generation? It's going to be the next generation. What's the proof? The Dor Acharon mesafrim tivot Hashem. Bezuzov niftav asher tzav. And then he says, God gave us laws. God gave us laws. It's our job to teach them to our children. Why do we have to tell our children? That's just the last generation will know. So the next generation will know. The Dor Acharon has to go and tell the next their children. There's no doubt about it. Acharon means, in this context, for sure means next. Rav Amital always used to say, he can't wait to see this Dor Acharon. Why? Everyone's doing everything for the next generation. Everyone's doing everything for my kids. There's this one generation everyone's building up to, and we never get there. He's always wondering when we're... It must be something amazing by the time we get there. But in Shad Dor Acharon means it can be the next generation. It can never mean that. It doesn't always mean that. It can mean left. But here it means next. If that's the case, what does Achari Tayyabim mean? It's not the last generation. That's the question. Is Yeshayahu talking about what's going to happen 500 years from now, or 5,000 years later? Is he talking about the year 6,000, Yeshayahu? Or is he talking about what could be in the next generation, this time period? That's why we have the chart. And that's basically the main point of this year. The rest is simply proving it and showing it. That's what they call the enduring understanding. In the time period of Uziel, things are so good that we're this close to the time period of Shlomo. We can be an ideal again. We can get back to the time period of Shlomo where people came to us and learned from us. I think that's here.
This one you need
on the chair.
On the chair. Look, it's over here.
Again, if you look at the sine wave, things were really bad till now. After Yehud revolt in the old time period of Elisha, things would have fallen apart from Aram, things were going terrible. Aram in the meantime fell apart. Yoash was able to defeat Aram. And Yerobam ben Yoash was a superhero, was tremendous at war. The borders in the time of Yerobam ben Yoash, you'll take my word for it. You can read it later in Sefer Melachim and in Divrei Hayamim. The borders are all the way to Lebo Hamat and in Yehuda down to Egypt. Israel and Yehuda are getting along together. Everything's going fine. Economically, we'll see in a minute, they're doing tremendous. Politically great, there's no superpower giving him trouble. Iran's followed apart, Ashur hasn't come in yet. Everything's set. And that's what, so I want to go back again to the theme of Shirat, as you know. The Navi in Sefer Melachim Bet gives a reason for it. Look at Melachim Bet. Yeah, it's not on the page, but it's real short. Melachim Bet Perek Yudalad. Melachim Bet Perek Yudalad. And this will show us how Yonah fits into the picture. Perek Yudalad in Melachim Bet. Pasach HaFyomo. It's year 15. Tamatzeh ben Yoash Melech Yehuda. And, I mean, in the 50th year of Yoash, of Amatziah, Yerobam ben Yoash was king over Israel, and Shomron 40 years. That's Yerobam ben Yoash. This is how the Nabi described his kingdom. He did bad in the eyes of Hashem, Losam Echot to Yerobam ben Nevat. He followed the Chetot of Rabban, not Tehra Vachav. Avarat Ba we don't have. We simply have Agalim and Beit Yalundan. Who is she? Who is she with Israel? Milavoh Hamat and Yom Harava. That's as far as it was in time of Shlomo, the Bochama. Yom HaRavah is going to be the Dead Sea. Kidvar Hashem Elohi Yisrael Shir Diber Bi'ad Avdo Yonah Ben Amitai Nabi Asher Migat Chesa. That's our Yonah. Yonah, Chazal identify as the child who Elisha brought back to life. And that's definitely, Yonah is then the, it's also identified as the Navi that Elisha sent to anoint Beit Yehu. But Yonah is the Navi. It continues from Elisha after, and basically it takes care of the good years of Beit Yehu, which is Yoash and Yerobam and Yoash. And now the Navi explains, why is it that God was so good to Yerobam? That's definitely a reference to Shirat Hazinu. God goes out of his way. He has Rachmanis on us. We suffered so much during Beit Yehu. And Yehu got rid of the ball. But he didn't do as much as God expected. God was really mean to them. It was difficult with them. Was punished them. And Bishai tried to fix things a bit. They didn't listen as much. God finally said, enough is enough. Let's try to be nice to them for a couple of decades and see if they reciprocate. And it's the same Yonah. I think we discussed that before. But it's the same Yonah who is leading the Renaissance. In the time period of Yerobam ben Yoash, the country is going good, who God sends to Ashur, who is a new fledgling power coming up in Nineveh, telling the people in Ashur to do tshuva before they're superpower, when they're just beginning to become powerful. He tells them to do tshuva from what type of act, from what type of behavior? From corruption, from Hamas, etc. And to him they listen. The same message God delivers to Yehuda and to Israel, by Yishayahu, Amos, etc. And what happens? They don't listen. What's the punishment going to be? Hoyasur shaved up the. And that's the next part. You see that, huh? That's why the sine wave explains pretty much everything. Explains Yonah. It explains why Yonah is part of Jewish history. Because it sounds like what's God sending a Navi to other nations for. But Ashur is going to come and punish Israel terribly. And the big question they have to understand is, why is it that such a terrible nation like Ashur, why, if God is just, how does God let these wicked people like Ashur punish the tzaddikim like us? We have a mikdash, we worship God, etc. They can't buy it. And we're going to see the biggest problem that demons are going to have in this time period is going to be they can't understand why we're so good and God's so mean to us. And enter what's called the ethical prophets, who come up with this crazy idea that it's not just about korbanot, it's not just about davening, it's not about praying, it's not just about ritual, it's also about your behavior, and the people don't buy it. So if that's the case, what's Yishayahu Perek Bet? That's the opener. If you know Yishayahu, the first Perek is from the time of Hizkiyahu. It's easy to prove. It's about Chorban already. The opening Perek is not in historic order. Perek Bet, for sure, we'll prove it in a minute, is from the time period of Uziel. We'll be able to prove it in basically from Perek Bet, Gimel Dalet Hey, is classic as Yishayahu. So he tells them, what could happen? In the next generation, what can be? You're this close. That's exactly the job of the Navi. The Navi's not an oracle telling you, oh, I can figure out the gematria of the words in this pasuk, I know exactly what your Mashiach is coming. That's not what Yeshayahu is out to do. Yeshayahu is telling the people, you're this close to a Tzubat Mishkit, where people can look up to you. But what is missing? They have the Mikdash, they have the borders, they have the economy, they have everything to the time period of David and Shlomo. What's missing? There's one more thing you need to be a model nation. If you have Kilim, look at Kilim Kuvav. I think we did this once before. You know Kilim Kuvav? If you have a, you know it by heart. You say it every day in the morning. You quote from it. The first line.
Good for us,
but it's key to it.
I'll
tell
you why in a minute. You know what the next line is?
Kufay is and then we thank God for keeping his covenant, that's Kufay. And Kuvav, we begin with a similar opening. Yeah. And then we have this Hanukkah song.
Right.
That Yimalel Gvurot. Instead of Yisrael, the editor of Tehillim switched the word around and put in God's name. See that? You know that? It says, Mi Yimalel Gvurot Hashem. How's it finish? Mi Yimalel Gvurot Hashem? Yes, Mi Yimalel Gvurot Hashem. Most of you don't realize the song, the Hanukkah song is from there. Yeah, old Chilonim, at least, you do it tonight. Switching a Fatah is like a disaster, that song. So, that question in Pasuk Bet, is it a real question or a rhetorical one? It sounds rhetorical, doesn't it?
It does.
But if it's rhetorical, then what's the answer to a rhetorical question?
No.
If it's rhetorical, what's the answer? Nobody can.
Right?
Who could possibly praise God? It's impossible. That can't be a rhetorical question, because what's the opening part is? There's a command. And the previous, you can't say, also, it's our job to praise God, and tell people you have to say Shukri every day, and then go say it's impossible to do it. Look at Pastor Gimel. Yeah. The answer is in Pastor Gimel. Read it for us, Ashrei.
Ashrei.
And that's going to bring us to a whole theme, which is Yishayahu's big theme. What's he saying? What's the answer to the not rhetorical question? The question isn't who could possibly do it. Who's worthy of praising God? It's our obligation to praise God, but who's worthy? A nation doing Tzedek u'Mishpat. And then David has the Tzilah, the Tachlum, and then look at the last line of the Perek. And David would say the first line is above and the last line. David's famous Tzilah is Hoshenu Hashem Elokeinu, the Kaptein Min Agoyim, L'Hodot Hashem Kodshecha. David the Melech has to give God a reason. Give us a reason why he should help us in battle and war. If we do that, we'll praise you. But it's not enough, according to Tehillim already, it's not enough for us to praise God. In order to be worthy of praising God, we have to be a nation doing Tzedek u'Mishpat. And the logic is so simple. Because if you gather together and all day talk about God, okay, you say Yehi Shmei, every time you gather together, you talk about how God, you say Yishtabach Shimcha, you eat an apple, right, you say Hashem's name. You eat, everything you do as a Jewish nation, privately, in public, you just don't stop talking about God. So you really get God's name out there. But if at the same time the people doing that are arrogant, haughty, cut in line, you can stop the list. If their behavior is not characterized by Tzedek u'Mishpat, and instead they're perceived as they're not perceived nicely in their behavior, and when they talk about God, what's going to be the result? We call that in English, Achilu Hashem, which we're so familiar with. And that's what the Navi is saying. You're this close, you now have the ability. People look up to you. You're a nation. You have the ability to call that. But there's one thing missing. A little Tzedek u'Mishpat. You have too much haughtiness. And therefore, the Navi is a guide, not predicting events. I'm trying to flip around. My goal isn't to flip around. I'm trying to show you that these Tzedek, which everyone sees, is Afri Sayamayim, like something magic and something, you know. It's practical, down to earth, and super meaningful. It's not predicting history, changing history. Yishayahu, their leader, is telling them, we're this close to Tzubah Mashiachit. What you need to do is Tzedek u'Mishpat. And then we'll see it now in the first unit in Yishayahu, which will be our main topic today. I'll show you that it's crystal clear, Yishayahu, what he's talking about. We'll see it inside. But that's why the word Achrit, this could be in the next generation. And Yishayahu, their leaders, tell the people, it can happen again. Now, look in, Bilu is the next Pasek. And Pasek Hei Yishayahu, now on the source sheet they have. After he gives this big hope, that Am Yisrael could fulfill its job among nations and be a guiding light. It's Beit Yaakov Zechuv Nechav Lor Hashem. You've heard of Bilu?
Mm-hmm.
It's from the Rosh Yitzhak of that Pasuk.
And then Pasuk Bachok between Rashi and Ebed Ezra about who's complaining about what. But in a nutshell, Ki Natashta Amcha Beit Yisrael Beit Yaakov Ki Malum Mikeda Munim Kapshishi V'Yadei Nachum Yisbiku. We're getting, we could go, instead we're doing something worse. How, what exactly are you referring to?
Look at the Parshanim, it's a little complicated. But we'll begin from Pasuk Zayin to get through.
Look at the description, and this proves the Sanhedrin of Uziel. A bad time to get in Melachim, it describes Uziel as wealthy, strong, military power.
It's more detailed in Devarim than in Melachim, but it's all this.
In Pasuk Zayin, in Perek Ben Yishon. But the Melech are so ketzav zahav. Ben ketzav or tzatav. But the Melech are so susim ben ketzav l'matav otav. What does that sound like?
A wealthy, strong, affluent nation.
But the Melech are so elidim. The Masih Yadav yishtachavu. Asher atzu eskotav. What is the elidim he's talking about?
Perek Bet Nishayom. Perek Bet Pasuk Zayin Achet.
The land is full of elidim, but now we define where are the elidim. The Masih Yadav yishtachavu. Asher atzu eskotav. What are people worshipping? Their own accomplishments, their own achievements. And that is Vayishach Adam Vayishpal Ish, and Al Kisal Him.
Either Yishael saying, or Yishael saying that is not, but
the people are so haughty, it doesn't pay to forgive them. Vol Vatsur Vitamin, Vafar Bidnei Pachar Hashem Yehadar Gono. People should hide. God's going to come and punish them really bad if they don't fix their ways. People should hide from His fear. And that's in Yud Aleph. Enei Gavut Adam Shafel, Vashach Rum Anashim, Yudhikam Hashem Levado B'yamuhu.
You always think at a wedding thinking something cool. But the context is disastrous.
What's God saying? What's God going to have to do? He's going to have to lower down the haughtiness.
Enei Gavut Adam Shafel, Vashach Rum Anashim.
God's going to lower haughtiness. He's going to cut down the haughty and the arrogant. And if that wasn't enough, look at Pasuk Yudbet. Yishael doesn't stop.
כי יום לאשם צפות הכל גאה ונורם והכל ניסה בשפר והכל הזה לבנון רמים לניסאים והכל אלוני הבשן והכל הדברים הרמים והכל הניסאים.
Got the picture? Every metaphor of someone powerful and strong. The Arazim, the cedars of Lebanon, everyone haughty and above. Everything big. והכל בגדל גבוה והכל חומה בצורה. Look later in Yirmiyahu, in Melachim, in Divrei Hayamim, when they discuss Uziel Center in Rehobam. Big buildings, growth, archaeologically we have supported as well. This is finally a time period where everything's supported in archaeology. We have Assyrian history, we have archaeology from the time period, we have city, Shomron is that time period, we have Yushan from that time period. There's already not conjecture anymore. Again, repeating the same in the Yudzayim, V'shach Kavut Adam Shefel Ruma Anashim, V'nizgav Hashem Levodo V'yamahu. And then the Elilim Kalu Yachalof, means God's going to get rid of the people who think a lot of themselves. Ubabam, and they're going to go hide in little things. They're going to be using the things that they made as shovels to dig themselves the hideaway. Okay. Don't put your trust in people and men. They're worthless. Got the picture? We can go on and on. That's Yishael Bet Gimel Dalet. He doesn't stop. I think on the next page I have a little more. One more page. Yishayo. He goes on. If you look in your Navi, if you want just a list of a good sign of affluence is how much makeup and jewelry people buy. So if you have your Tanakh open, I didn't run up the page. The words are very hard. So in case you want a list, and this is fun when you're making in high school, they always use this as a list. If you want a list of all the makeup and all the ornaments and all the jewelry they had in the time period, look in Perek Gimel, Yishayel. I don't understand a word, but you can get the, if it was in English, I wouldn't understand either. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ted Zayin. Ben Hashem Yanki Gavu Benot Zion, Patelach Netzot Garon, Mustakrot Einayim. You understand what that is? Walking sideways? And walking sideways? The daughters of Zion, the women of Zion are walking haughtily. Sideways with their eyes, okay? Getting got angry by with their feet and with their arms, everything. You can figure it out. And then Bayamuhu, when Pasuk Yedchet, Yaser Hashem, Etifer Tachasim, Hashvisim,
Hashem Amin, see the whole list? In default, Basherot, the Haralot, the Perim, the Ezot, you guys see the whole list there? Mm-hmm. Just goes on for 10 Sukkim. Everything, type of clothing, every type. What?
Yeah,
yeah. There's Sabot, Chav Gimel, or Chav Dalet, Chav Vayet, Tachet Bosem Mak, yeah. Tachet Hagra Nikpa, Tachet Basem Mikshal Kocha. You got it? I don't. It's all about makeup, it's all about ornaments. What's that proof?
Rich.
The people are wealthy and well-to-do. And what's the shot? The shot's not saying don't be rich. He's saying that all you're talking about, that's the focus of your society.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go to the famous cleric, which that goes to Gimel Dalet. Where did my pages go? Now we go to Eric A. Yeah, pass these out. That's not before. You can get one for, yeah, if you have your shout out case enough, then you can share this one for every two.
You made the fact that this is right, okay.
They don't need something to read. You should be able to see, the mivneh here, you should be able to go on your own. You're adults already. So it's called Mashallah Karim. Everyone see it? Everyone's heard, you've learned this before, haven't you? I just want to show you how, everyone's heard of Mashallah Karim, I think? I'm assuming you know it, so I'm going to go over it quickly. Who, anyone hasn't heard of Mashallah Karim? Have you said no?
Mashallah
Karim?
Mashallah
Karim. What's it? It's a Mashal, about a vineyard. It's a beautiful one. Anyone who learns that, if you teach Isaiah in high school, it's the classic verse in Mashallah. Yeah, even usually something, something to mention it. Yeah, I can also Haftar is third love. This is our okay. In the first Sukkim, it's really a ballad. It's Ashir Navi Didi. Shred Davi Lekamo. He has a friend who made a ballad about his vineyard. I'll just play the background real quick. The analogy, the mashal, is simple. He has a friend who decided, an entrepreneur. Is that the right? He wants to start a business. He wants to make Kamel wine. He wants to make good wine. To make wine is what he needs, and he wants to make sure this business is going to work. He's going to get the best piece of land. He's going to get the best fertilizer. He's going to get a great scent. He's going to work the land perfectly. He's going to get rid of all the rust. He's going to plow it really good. He's going to make perfect furrows. He's going to buy the best vine to plant there from the best nursery. He's going to plant it. He's going to water it right. He's going to take it there perfectly. He's even going to have the winery right next door to it. But there's going to be no reason why the grapes won't grow well. But not everything's in his control. What's out of his control? With a great screw. And watch what happens. So, in Yishael Perakei, it says, Ashir na li didi shorat dadi la karbol, kerem ayel le didi b'kerem ben shaman. Then, that's the opener. And then it talks about how he cleans it out, he gets rid of all the rot, he plants it straight, he puts the migdal in the middle, a watchtower, gam yekem chatzabo, he got the winery ready. Then, by kab lasot anavim, v'yas pushim. What was he hoping for? He was hoping for the whole mashal in one line. Shadow, this is so, his wording is so great. He was hoping to make anavim, instead he got what they call sour grapes or bushim. In English, iffy grapes. And now it says, Vatay Yosef Yerushalayim Ve'ish Yehuda, Shiftun Abinim Ben Karmi. Now this owner, this entrepreneur, wants to take his Karim to court. He says, people of Yehuda, I want you to judge here, who's to blame? Chief do not venue been coming. When something goes wrong, someone's to blame. Remember what we always say. When something goes wrong, you blame somebody else? Who's to blame here? Now, if the farmer is to blame, he has to tell what could he have done better. And this is what he says. Tell me one thing I could have done to make it better. If I'm at fault, tell me I should have watered it more. I could have. What else could have I done? Me, the farmer, or me, the owner. I did everything in my control to do it. And therefore, who's to blame?
Sure.
The vine. The vine should have given good grapes. They have no excuse. And the vine's to blame. But now it says, "Odiana, it's a kind of session here. Tell me, I send it to Godon. You know what I'm going to do? Boy, am I angry with my term. I'm going to get rid of the fence, I'm going to stop watering it, I'm not going to take care of it, I'm going to let thorns grow. I've had it with it." It goes on and on. It'll be Remember, maybe case of Ramos Chatzirai, Mishael. I'm going to leave her alone, and I'm not going to. Now, skip the Pasuk Zayin, is it Mishael? Kicherem Hashem Tzvot Beit Yisrael, Ishu Udan Et Ashashuav. What's the vineyard? The vineyard are the people of Israel, the vines are the people of Yehudah, by Kavla Mishpat, the name is Pach. That's Tzaka, the name is Tzaka. And what phrase is Yishael building? That's Derech Hashem Tzaka Mishpat, that's the Yehud, Bedrachav, the Chabal Chotav. What was God hoping for from the people of Israel? Tzaka Mishpat, what do you get instead? No. You understand how beautiful the analogy is? There's certain things that God can do. God can take care of our economy. God can take care of our prosperity. He can take care of our security situation. Right? He can help us out as a nation. Even more, he can't control our behavior. That's up to us. Okay? If we were poor, if we were under war, so I have excuses for not taking care of the poor and the needy, not being nice. I'm in trouble. No, I have lots of excuses. Now God's saying, Yeshua's saying, the people have no excuse. I was good to you. In the time of death, that was Jonah's message. I did you a favor. I helped you out. I solved your economic problems. I solved your military problems. Now, you have no excuses anymore. Now do what you've chosen to do. And what do the people do? And that's exactly his message. We're this close to Tzkufa Mishichit. One thing's missing. Proper behavior. And that's, remember the first Derek in Yeshua when he yells at them? You bring me Karbonot, you're davening, this is who needs it. And what's amazing we're going to see is the worst destructions in Jewish history come when the people are the firmest. You know, it happens twice. It happened in the time of Chizkiel. This can be the end of the century. Chizkiel does tremendous tshuva. Yishael is going to get the same message again. Okay. And the worst korban happens. The end of Beit Rishon. It can be discussed that one. For all intents and purposes, the first monarchy falls under Sancheriv, under Ashur. And the early years of Yishael, we were never better from a ritual point of view. We're bringing Korbanot, we have the Mikdash built up, we make a brit with God, and Yishael gives the same message, and in time to Yishael, you don't get the main point. Almost, and the same thing happens later in Yishael, it's the time to Yirmiyahu. So that's Yishael in a nutshell, that's Mashal HaKerem. And he continues, I call this the Santa Claus. You understand why? Every parshiyah begins with hoi, hoi, hoi. See how it begins? Hoi, 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 hoi.
Goes beyond.
Yeah. Babolka, Shekhar Yudofu. This is someone they do this year in Penn. I mean, in college campuses. This is for Thursday night. Hoi Mashkime Babolka, Shekhar Yudofu. People get up in the morning, just can't wait for the next drink. Nachrei Beneshev Yain Nazi came. They're into beer, into drinks, into wine. And that's what's on their mind. Then he goes on, and then Meishach Adam Mishpal Ish, Veinegavim Tishpano, the same thing from before. Veigvashem Tzvot Mishpat. Oh, that's why I brought that down. Plus it says, I'm familiar, doesn't it? Veigvashem Tzvot Mishpat, Veikala Kadoshim Tazvi Tzaka. Where is Shail steal that from?
Muslim.
That's just Muslim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we switch from Akela Kadosh to Melech HaKadosh, The lead on right to the bracha. How does it begin? Kadosh Atah Ben Rosh Shemecha, Ben Eloah Mivaladecha, Kasatuv, Vayibashem Tzvot Vayishvaken, Nitashvit Tzaka. Then we say bracha Tashem. The next one is Melech Hakadosh. How do we make God Melech Hakadosh from Kel Hakadosh? By doing Tzedek Mishmat. But what happens when we daven? The second you say Shenemar, we stop thinking. Remember? We make a statement, then we say Shenemar, then we must have it right. The whole point of the Shenemar, the assumption is you know the context. If you know Perek Hei Yishayahu, you know it's not God doing Tzedek HaMishpat, it's us doing Tzedek HaMishpat. That's what Tzila is about. It's supposed to inspire us of how we're supposed to act. Then in the Pasuk HaChoyamim L'Ratov, the Torah, Samim Choshech Or, Or LaChoshech, Samim Mar LaMatov, Matov LaMar, they got their values all mixed up. Chaf Aleph, we make fun of Nishivot, Nehoch HaChamim Beinehem, Nehoch HaChamim Levon, people think they're smart. That's the Tov Yishayel. And remember, he's talking at a time when there's no late Avodah Zarah. The Beit HaMikdash is running beautifully. There's no big enemies. And that's exactly his point. We're this close, and don't get the point. No. I'll just do quickly something from Amos, which you're familiar with. Look at the opening lines of Amos. Dibrei Amos. Shayam Nafim. Yabir Sunat. Amos is the same type of same, but he's in Yehuda. Hashem Elokim Itzkoa. Asher Chazal Yisrael b'mei Udiyah Melech Yudah b'mei Ruhon ben Yosh Melech Yisrael. Sometime between Harash, there was some big earthquake in that time period, which is probably what Yishael Periklav is referring to when the Mikdash is trembling from, sounds like an earthquake. Basically, what Yamos is saying, God's about to come out of his den. Like a lion roaring out of his den. King's been quiet. Yes. God's been good to you. But don't translate the quiet and the prosperity as a sign you're doing fine. God's giving you a chance to do tshuva properly. He's waiting. Maybe you'll wake up and do something. It's not going to be angry. And therefore, the next thing we'll see in Yishayel, and also in Ashur's, in Amos, which we're familiar with from the Haftarah from Asher Shafishay Damesek, about the Shivena, we do Asher Shafishay Yisrael. That's a variation. That's because I'll be from the Ketan Tzadik that don't perform in Allah, and everyone thinks he's talking about Yosef and his brothers, which it isn't. It's a cute reference, but it's not about their generation. But talking about Sinat Achim, it's talking about selling the poor. For nothing, making it sounds like Yosef.
Yeah.
That's what we read it there. But he's not talking about that generation. He's not about his own generation.
Yeah, something like
that. So that's Amos in a nutshell. What he talks about, and what's his point? Who is coming to punish all the nations? Ashur. If you look on the last page, later on in Amos, I just want to get a little taste of Yishayel, a little taste of Amos, a little taste of Hosea. Those are the three. He's in the thing. Just to prove my point from all coming from the same direction.
And where are
the most
reading?
Now in Perek, I guess it's Perek A. Yeah, Perek A in Amos. Amos Perek A. You see why they don't teach it in the school system. Amos, Amos Perek A. There's great stuff in Amos. This is the Brigham Mashiach now there. Okay. Okay. If you look in almost just for a second, and look in Parakeh, there's something really interesting here. Look in Pasuk Dalet. Kichom Hashem, the Beit Yisrael, Dishuni Dishu. Look for me and you'll stay alive, won't be punished. Alti Dishu Beit El, Vagigal Lo Tavo, Ugeshev Lo Tavoru, Kel Gilgad Velo Yigleu Beit El Yelavan. Dishu Atashev Yichu, Penisach Yesh, Beit Yosef, Chulei. He's talking about people bringing korbanot in Beit El and Dan. In Beshev, he's talking about people bringing korbanot who think it's fine. And the Navi's making fun of them. But he's not saying you're worshipping, he's treating it like it's Avodah Zarah. But the people don't see it as Avodah Zarah. And he goes on and on. And then, look in Pasuk Yitzchet and Perakeh. Okay. This is what we want Mashiach now. You never saw this one? There's people we want Yom Hashem. They want God to come and help us and save us. They just can't wait for God to come. They think they're deserving. What's the Navi saying? You want God to come and get involved in your history and your battles, etc. Help you? If God comes and you're not ready, it's not going to bring light, it'll be darkness. And they talk about how you're going to run away from one thing. You'll run away from a lion and you hit a bear. And then you go to the house, you get by a wall, and then you'll be bitten by a nachash. Halokoshach Yom Hashem, lo'or. Lechov lo dogalov. Then he says, look in Chafala. I want to prove to you, he's talking about people who come to Shul. Saneti maste chagechem. What do you mean? The stick of your holidays. Must have gone to Miami. Okay, v'lo ariach basur techem. I won't smell your korbanot. Okay. You bring me korbanot, I don't want them. Why? The merichem is son marim, the sheep. Because what you're paying me from your sheep, from your cattle, from your flocks, I'm not going to look at them. Okay. I don't like your kabbalah, I don't like your songs, your singing. He's not talking about singing goyish songs, right? Jewish songs. He's talking about singing in the Beit HaMikdash or in their mikdashim. Don't want to hear your smiras, don't want to hear it. Instead, what you want, you can guess, v'yigal kamayim mishpat, tzedakah k'nachal leitan. I want to see what I want to see flowing, not songs and animals and kiddushes, but I want to see a flowing in mishpat and tzedakah k'nachal leitan. Hasbachim umitai gashem liba midbar baim shana. Did I choose it? Did I take it easier just to feed me? Okay. He goes on and on. And in the Chazan, if you play this in the hell of the Nesek, I'm Hashem's fault. I'm going to kick you out of here if you keep up that way. The Levine has to come to explain to the people why is it that the Shur is going to come and wipe them out. And during the time of Yerovam and Uziel, the people don't buy it. You understand why they don't buy it? Everything's fine. Yeah, bunch of left wingers. Hosea, just one line from Hosea, and then we'll finish up this part. דבר שמשה יאשא אושב את דיר בני אוזיהו יותם מחס כסכם אחי יהודה במיר רובם אושב את הסיים פנטרי שידעתי בישב באושב beginning of אושב then we have the famous story where he takes an ancient zunim. Now Rabbi Yovanun has an amazing word here. He says the analogy here. Just, I'll explain what he says there in a second. And פסק זה ואין מהשם אל אושב לך אחת אישת זונים בידי זונים כי זונות יש הארץ מאחורי השם. Go take as a analogy to what's happening in Israel. Go take an ishet zunim, take a harlot for a wife, and have children from her, as a symbol of how the land is left God. Vayelach lekach et gomer bat divlayim, batar batelu loben, v'im Hashem elav, krat shmo Yisrael, ki od ma'at, v'fakat et bnei Yisrael, beit yehu, v'ishbati v'amuchut beit Yisrael. What's going to happen? This son's name will be Yisrael, because what's going to happen? God's going to pay for the blood of Yisrael, on the house of Yehu. You know what blood that is? What blood was built in Israel? We talked, that was the last year, those who remember. Remember when Yehu got into power?
Karen Nevot?
No, some person says Karen Nevot, but that's not Beit Yehu. That's Beit Achav.
Yisrael's
blood. Not just Yisrael.
Atalia.
When Yehu took over, remember the military coup he did? He came in and took over and killed all Beit Achav? That's all to kill Beit Achav. And boy, did he kill people. Remember the blood that he does? He kills Beit Achav, not just the Abdebal, Beit Achav, all his Sarim, his entire political party, everyone associated with Achav. A bloodbath. And God told him to do it. And he said, remember he picks the Yonadam and Rechav with him? He cleans out totally. But what was he supposed to do? What was Beit Achav supposed to do? He was supposed to have something better. What happened? So they don't go to Abadazal anymore, but what he said isn't that much better. And what did that say? Retroactively, what you did was ripped off. If you don't, the same thing God says to us about killing the Kananim. God gave us the right to kill the Kananim and the lambs because of their behavior. But if we act the way the Kananim do, then retroactively, that's Melachim Bet Perek Chapalah, when he explains the Korban, you're worse than the Amorites who were here before. That's Exodus and Tamar Menasheh, it's the same thing. So he has one son, Israel. Then he has the next son, then Emek Zolus, and Pasuk says, "Vatar Ovet Hele Bat, by Kroshma Lo Ruchama, Ki Lo Asif Od, Rachim Et Beit Yisrael, Kino Sosalem, Beit Yudah Rachim, Vashetim Yarareem, Vlo Shim, Bekeshe Becherav, Vlo Chama, Vashetim Roshim, Vlikmod Lo Ruchama, Vtar Bet Et Ben, Vemeko Lo Ami, Ki Atem Lo Ami, Vanofi Lo Yelachem." That's Brit Milah, inside. I won't be your God, you won't be only people. Say God. Hosea starts something new here, which is really neat. I'm pretty sure the first Nadi, who begins to talk our relationship between God and the people of Israel as a husband-wife relationship. In Chumash, it's always a child-son relationship. Here it's a husband-wife relationship, which brings in a big problem. If it's a parent-child relationship, so we know who the boss is. Yeah, but once the son, always the son. If it's a husband-wife relationship, what? We can talk about divorce, right? And that's why Yeshayahu talks about Sefer Kritzot and the whole thing. That's kind of affect Yeshayahu. When he sends to Zach, we don't tend to do Perek Bet, but the Taftarah, you might be familiar with it. From Moshe Perek Bet. It's a whole Pulchan against the Baal, against the time of the Baal then. But we talk about, can we go back and bring back will God come back and bring back his wife after he brought her back? And that's Hosea's whole point, even though it's a husband-wife relationship, and even though it sounds like divorce, in a nutshell, Shea says it's a Catholic marriage.
Does Shai also talk about husband-wife relationship?
Yeah, they'll have to know them. But from this time period on, it begins. So it's a nice, beautiful analogy, but it gets in, theologically, it gets into a little murky water. So they solve it. They call it a kind of thing. They say, no matter how bad it is, God can never divorce us. But we can have a really rough relationship. There's a lot of counseling at home. So that's, yeah, we have to finish up in a couple minutes. I just want to, the sakim. But I thought just one basic point, it's not that big of a shir. I just want to prove to you that it's such a basic point, though, it's worth, I want to be able to prove it. I'm not sure it's just not a board. It's clear in Yishayahu. If we went in, anyone knows Yishayahu. Remember that Torah on Yom Kippur? We read? But we only think big deal about the Maftar and Mincha and the Torah reading in Shacharis. Right? It's the Maftar and Haftar in the morning and the Torah reading in Mincha that are more important. This is important. Read Yishayahu from Yom Kippur. He makes fun of fast days. He says, I think God wants you to fast. We're in the middle of the biggest fast day. We read that Torah where God says, where Yishayahu says, who needs fast days? You're wasting your time. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Go to the marketplace. Be nice to people. Help the poor, the needy. He says, you call that a fast? You think, man, how long is it? Is that, do you call that a fast day? And basically, the bottom line is that the only reason we fast is to remind ourselves that we're wasting our time by fasting. But if we didn't fast, we wouldn't know that. So it doesn't mean you shouldn't fast, but he says, fasting is just as an endurance contest. So who can fast better? And wishing everybody at some call. And not doing any introspection at all. He said, that's what he's knocking at. Now, I want to finish the show with a couple of source sheets. I want to put to shame it so you can take them home with you. Get this one. I probably did this here one time or other. But this is a good source sheet showing the same thing from... Yeah, it's a big factor. There's a thing that you think clearly coming through Shayo about Tzedek u'Mishpat. I want to show this is a benchmark idea. That's what I think. This is how David HaMelech makes it to his vision. We talked about that? You notice in all these vision members took us? The only one, the only non-biblical vision is David HaMelech. Yeah. Yeah, the only non-Chumash one. Because David's time period, he's the one who's able to fulfill the goal of what all the other ones were about. And well, we have a whole bunch of them. There's over 50 in it.
Yeah,
there's tons of them. But we're not going to go over the whole page now. But if you want a source sheet, it's got all the that's talking about Tzedek u'Mishpat, but in order how that's part of God's mission statement in Sefer Bereshit. That's what Parsha Mishpatim is going to be about. But Mamad Har Sinai will be about. And then later on, we finally get in the time of David, and how David passed that over to Shlomo, and how the Nevi'im, especially I call them mostly Yirmiyahu, and also Yishayahu, how they say the reason for the Qurban is the lack of that, and we'll bring Yeshua, bringing him back. It's just such a basic mega thing that's just a nice sheet of Quran, but it's based pretty much, there's no doubt Yishayahu, in many ways, is a parshan on Chumash. Certain things Yishayahu says aren't explicit in Chumash. They're alluded to, and they're by the structure, but Yishayahu comes in and puts it together. One last pasuk from Yishayahu I want to talk about from what they call Deuteronomy Isaiah, which is this theme is so similar. I don't know why they make such a big deal about with the 2, 3, 4 Yishayahu. So, they find a couple little differences, but it's so much the same idea. Look at Yishayahu. That start from Parsha Bereshit. It's the Membet Pasuk Hey. Yishayahu Membet Pasuk Hey. But if you have a chumash, that start from Parsha Bereshit. That I want to conclude with. Yeah. I'll leave a couple more sources here. Here's stuff from about Korbanot, Chumash pro or anti-Korbanot. Yeah. By the way, Chumash is super pro in the right context. Did I tell you my analogy with Korbanot, with Shabbat here? Let me give you a nice, simple example before. The way I try to explain Korbanot to students is, there was about how God needs to be fed. Because the Nevi'im, Chumash does want us to bring Korbanot. But we don't need to feed God. Korbanot have to reflect the relationship. So now it's like the brings, when you go to some Shabbat for Shabbat, you don't come empty-handed. And there's a built-in halacha that everyone knows. And I told you, Ben Ashmoshes, you can even have a Shabbos for it. If you don't have something to bring over, ask any wife, I'll tell you, you can, risk a couple minutes on Shkia and buy something. Because you can't come empty-handed. No, when you go, you don't bring them a bag of onions. You bring them... they probably need the bag of onions more. They don't need the wine. They're going to take that wine and recycle it. But you need You need to bring something. They don't need to receive. If you're someone coming to visit, to bring something. That's fully rooted in come. And that's the main idea of a korban is you're coming to them close to God. But human beings, why ask an anthropologist why, need to express their feeling with an object. That's human nature. The whole jewelry business is based on that. I don't understand it, but it makes money. When you bring a korban, it's an expression of a closeness. When you think it's instant behavior, that's your Miel Peresvain, it's classic, Miel Peresvain. When it's instant behavior, when you think you can be a rotten person and I'll bring a korban and cover up, that's when the Nazim get really angry. Now when you bring, you have a choice. You can bring Noah Shlamim. You want to share the korban with God, now this will go away. So you can bring korban mincha. What was the korban thing? There's a korban chatat when you unintentionally did something wrong, you want to say you're sorry. But they're all the korban that are coming to as an expression of someone's feeling. But they all begin with the idea that you're working for God. The second, you have a situation where God's working for you. And that would be, next time, you have a share. That would be what happens later on in Yishayahu.
By the time the blue camera, the red truck outside the parking lot.
What was that I was talking about?
The next
I talk about is what goes wrong, what's the real reason why things go bad after the first time period, Uziel? What happens with Achaz Yotam, Achaz Kiskeo? And this tension is going to be between the Nevi and the people. We're the people, there's times when we go back and become religious again, like in time of Kiskeo and time of Yosheo. The question is the motivation to return to God, is it a motivation out of closeness to God? Or the understanding that if we bring korbanot and serve Him, the opposite war. Is it nationalism or Judaism? And that's going to be the next. That's where we get to Hizkiyahu. It's much more complicated. And that's the people and the context. Yishayahu. In Uziel, I think the point is clear. God's saying you're this close to Tzva of the Achrit Hayamim. It could be the next generation. It's up to you as a guide, as a guided counselor to the people, saying here's how it can be done. You don't get the message, guess what's going to happen next? That'll be the next set of Hakim and Yishayel. Ashur is going to come in. That's Yishayel's message, that's Amos' message, that's Hosea's message. Ashur is going to come and punish you, big fun. And that's going to cause the fall. When the fall happens, guess what the people blame it on? The people blame it on God and say, listen, we've been bringing you korbanot, and this is what we get, back with you. And therefore, Achaz closes down the Mikdash. You follow? You understand why? It's called the angry Manasseh says after Chizkiyahu. The reason why this king is so angry with God, because it doesn't pay. And it's so convincing. Because when people come to the Mikdash and bring korbanot and are following all the rituals, they're sure God's not cashing in. And when these left-wing Nevi'im starts talking about, oh, it's about your behavior, they say, leave me alone. That's not religion. That's nice, and that's saying it's not a good idea, but that's got nothing to do with... And that's what happens when God's working for you instead of you working for God. And that'll explain that Achaz is switched around by Chizkiyahu switches policy. And then we have to what's the switch of Chizkiyahu's policy, which is going to lead to the bulk of Yishayahu during the time of Chizkiyahu. And you remember Chizkiyahu's 50-50. Sometimes Chazal like him, sometimes they disagree with him. It's real complicated. So we'll stop here. What I wanted to do was, there's extra short seats there. There's on korbanot. I've got stuff in the Mirmiya if you want to use them. There's about English Hebrew stuff, but I was going to put them in Seamus, but if anyone wants to take and use them, they're here for taking.
Did you explain Mem Ben Hey?
Oh yeah, Mem Ben Hey. I'm sorry about that. I was in the middle. Mem Ben Hey. Yeah. I want to conclude with that. Sorry about that. Yeah. Mem Ben Hey. It's classic. Okay. Look at Mem Ben Hey. In Yishayahu. I just want to show you Yishayahu with the Parshat and Sefer Bereshit. Just look at all the words there. I mean, Tassar from Parshat Bereshit. Look at all the words that are there from Perek Aleph and Bet and Bereshit. See what it says? I gotta find it. Have it? Yishayahu. Kol Mar Hashem, Notei Shemayim, Borei Shemayim v'Noteihem. Notei, what does it say? Forkaz v'Tetzaya, Notei Neshama L'Maleah, Barach Lochim Ba. What's Notei Neshama L'Maleah? God giving Neshama to a nation. Tassar of Bereshit. What's he say? Ani Hashem Kratikha B'Tzerech Vach V'Tek V'Tzerech 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 V'
He created us. He made us. He made us a nation. He created, that's his whole point. Is Sefer Bereshit is Sefer Yetzirah of a nation. That's just of creation. And he gave us to be a Or LaGoyim. He made a covenant with that nation to be a light to other nations. And then to open up the eyes of the blind, that means you don't, doesn't mean we have to be ophthalmologists. Who's blind? Someone who doesn't see God. It's our job to open up the light of God to other nations by setting an example through our behavior. By what we say, what we talk, by what we do. And those together work like a... Okay. This is one example from Yishayahu, how that same thing comes through the book from cover to cover. So we try to do a show is why, what this Achrit HaYamim idea is. Why is this in the Nevuah HaDorot? You understand why it's in the Nevuah HaDorot. The Nevuah HaDorot, when Chazal say the Nevuah that we have are the Dorot, we're not predicting events in the Dorot. They were written, they were given for that time period. They're applications for future generations. That's why people get so mixed up, thinking Yishayahu is predicting, if I read Yishayahu carefully, I can find out when Mashiach is coming. That's the exact opposite of what Yishayahu is all about. It's all about that God gives us the opportunity for the Kavam Mashiach. It's up to us, and it's our job to recognize them and to know what to do when opportunity is knocking. And then, because that message is eternal, so Chazal kept Yishayahu. Okay, we'll stop there and I got a sort of